a powerful evangelist that God is raising up to shake New Zealand, shake Fiji, to shake the nations of the world. Please give a warm welcome to evangelist Michael Jacobson.
That said, from an evangelist who's been ministering for over 20 years. Let's hear it for Brother Matthew. Okay, great.
What I'm going to do is we're going to talk about healing and how each one of us can operate with healing, because it's part of the gospel and it's part of the way we can minister to people also. What I'm going to go through just briefly is some of the facts of Jesus' life, how he would minister to people again, so we have a good foundation, and so we understand when we minister to people also, we know the authority that we have, we know the commands from Jesus that we have, and we know the pattern that God has given us through Jesus' life on how we should minister to people. So firstly, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And Jesus wanted to demonstrate this. He didn't just bring a new message saying, I've come to make people free. He demonstrated that through his actions and through deeds. Because of those deeds, the kingdom of God could be seen. The kingdom of God must be seen. It's visible. It's something that's recognized by people. We can see it. It's not just something in our ears. It's something that we see taking place. It's actions. And again, Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. So he said, when I came with the gospel, I didn't just come with words. I didn't just come with a new message. I came with power, and you saw it, he's saying. You people saw the power that came with my gospel. Now, Jesus' ministry and lifestyle, these are small. Anyone who wants a copy of this? You can give me your email address after, that might be easier than writing them down. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now that was the specific prophecy of the Christ, the Messiah, who was going to come. And Jesus stood up one day, he repeated those same things, and by saying that, he was saying, I am the Messiah, I am the Christ. And again, the next verse, Acts chapter 10, it reads, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and what did he do? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So, whenever Jesus healed people, who were those people oppressed by? By the devil. So the people he healed of epilepsy, sickness, who were they oppressed by? The devil. Sickness is not from God. Sickness is a result of the fall of man. It's a result of the curse that came on the world through disobedience to God because of Adam. It's a work of Satan. And as I read before, Jesus, for this purpose, Jesus was revealed that he might destroy the works of the devil. Death, sickness, pain, suffering, and eternal death. Jesus destroyed all of it. So sickness is not from God. It said Jesus went about healing those who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. So Jesus' works confirmed he was the promised Messiah. Now these are some of Jesus' own statements about his works. The works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And again, he says, if I do not do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. So Jesus is saying, the things that you're seeing me doing, the miraculous power, the healings, casting out of evil spirits, these things are proof that my Father has sent me. What he's saying is, I'm from God. I'm the Messiah. I'm the promised Christ. So Jesus confirmed his own words. Again, it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. So it says he was teaching and preaching, so he had the words, he had his message, which came from God, but also the power of God, healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. And in Luke chapter 13, Jesus is giving a sort of a description of his normal work. He says, he said to someone, "Go and tell Herod, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be infected." What he's saying is, it doesn't matter what Herod is threatening me with, I'm going to continue to do the same thing I've been doing. What is that? I'm casting out demons and I'm performing cures today and tomorrow and the next day, and I'm going to keep doing it. So this was Jesus' normal lifestyle. Okay. So Jesus' works confirmed his identity as the chosen Messiah, and it also confirmed the message of Jesus that God's kingdom had come. Otherwise, his words could have just been empty words. But again, people saw the power. They recognized, who is this person? He has authority. He has power. He's from God. Now, when people saw Jesus' healing take place, they were seeing God's healing power flowing back into human history to end the reign of sickness and pain, which again had been prevalent in human history for centuries since the fall of man. Satan had reigned. Death had reigned. Sickness had reigned. Jesus was bringing in a new era. And so his mighty power was evidence that he was working on God's behalf. Now, Jesus' disciples again saw him teach, they saw him heal, they saw his actions, but he was wanting followers to continue his work because he was going back to the Father. So he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons, as we read before, and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Two things. Jesus said, preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. That was to the 12 disciples. Now in Luke chapter 10, he's talking to 70 other disciples. They're a different group of people. Jesus had sent out 12. He said, you go and preach and heal. But Jesus said to another group that was following him, the harvest is great and the workers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that God will send out more. As soon as he said that, there was a group of 70 people following him also. And Jesus commissioned them to go as well. So first there was 12, then there were 70 people. Now to those 70, Jesus said, and heal the sick there, wherever you go, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come to you. Now Jesus reversed the command. In Luke chapter 1, it says, first preach, then heal. But to the 70, Jesus said, first heal, then preach and say God's come. Why did he do that? The first 12 disciples, they were representing... Well, Jesus commanded them to only go to Israel, the chosen people. Jesus said, don't go to the Gentiles, only go to the chosen people. And there was 12 disciples representing the 12 tribes. But the 70, the second group, that was representing all the nations of the earth. And so to the Jewish people, they understood the kingdom of God. They were waiting for it. And so Jesus said to his disciples, you tell them first, kingdom of God is here, and then heal the sick so they know it has actually come. But the Gentile people, the non-Jewish people, they had no concept about the kingdom of God. They did not understand what that was. So Jesus reversed the order and he said, when you go out to pagan people, the Gentiles, who don't know God, first, don't say anything, just heal them and see how they respond. And then tell them, this is the kingdom of God. Jesus has come to earth. He's come to destroy the works of Satan and set people free. And when we were in Fiji again, we would go through villages saying, is anyone here who's sick? Mostly we would go to the Hindu families, Hindu homes. We would say, is anyone sick in this neighborhood? They would say, oh, there's someone up here who's sick. They have a stroke or something. We'd go and pray for them. God would heal them. And then we'd say, do you know what this is? The kingdom of God has come. Sickness is gone. Jesus has come to set everyone free from death and the power of Satan. So that's why Jesus said those two things. But Jesus gave us the same command. Mark chapter 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he says, whoever believes, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So Jesus has given us the same commission. As we preach, we heal, and as we heal, we preach. Again, here it is. Preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is drawn near. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So Jesus' disciples were freely given the authority of Jesus. Jesus said, I give you authority and power to cure diseases and to heal the sick. They didn't do anything to deserve that, neither do we. Jesus gives that authority to you and me freely. So what do? We freely give it away. We pray for people wherever we go. I'll give you an example. I was at work 3 weeks ago, and I just sat down for lunch, and I was working on a construction site, and a lady came in to drop off some materials. And I was just talking to her. She said, I have a really bad back. It's giving me so much pain. Oh, that's not good to hear. I'm sorry to hear that. And I was sort of thinking, should I pray for her or not? And I went inside and God spoke to me, you go out and pray for her. So I went out and said, excuse me, you just told me you have a really bad back. You know, can I pray for you? Oh yeah, sure. So I just pray for her, you know, and God was touching me. So these are simple practical ways that you and I also can just pray for people. It doesn't have to be in a church meeting. It doesn't have to be in a special church gathering. Wherever we go, we can pray for people. So again, 12 disciples was representing Israel, sending the world. Now again, once Jesus had gone back to heaven, the disciples continued the same ministry because Jesus told them to do it. They obeyed him. In Acts chapter 3, there was a lame man at the beautiful gate. He was healed. In Acts chapter 5, it says, so that they brought out the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, so that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. It's awesome. Acts chapter 8, Philip the evangelist, he went down to Samaria. What did Philip do? How did he preach? It says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So it says those people, they heard his message, he preached the kingdom of God, he preached Christ, and they saw the miracles which he did. And later it says there was great joy in that city. So why healings? Why miracles? Why are they involved in the gospel? Again, to confirm the message that was being proclaimed. We can heal, then we proclaim the message. Or we proclaim the message, the gospel, and we heal. Also, healing is a visible demonstration of the disinterested love and kindness of God. That means people don't deserve the love of God. We don't deserve the love of God. But it was the nature of Jesus to heal people. Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. When we see Jesus acting, we see the Father. What did Jesus do? He went out and touched people who no one else would touch. Those people, we think, well, they didn't believe in God, they weren't Christians. God was just showing them that he loved them. And many times I've prayed for people, I haven't had the opportunity, for time's sake, to tell them about the kingdom of God or about Jesus, what he's done for them and dying for their sins. But they know that God has loved them because he's healed them. So if we don't get the opportunity to even preach for them, it's a demonstration that God loves them. And he was willing to touch their lives in a personal, practical way because he loves them. That's so important. And again, it says that the disciples, it says, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So it says Jesus was with them. And the promise, Jesus said, I will be with you even to the end of the age. And they believed that, and they went out, they presented the message, and it says, the Lord confirmed the word through the accompanying signs. The power of the Holy Spirit brought healings, miracles, the power of God confirming the message that they spoke. There's a few more examples. It says, therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So again, it says, the Lord was bearing witness to their words. And the Lord was granting signs and wonders. So God was confirming their message through his mighty power. And Hebrews chapter 2, we read again. the writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So God also, he gave witness to the message that was preached by letting miracles take place, by letting his power be revealed so that people could be healed. So God confirmed the gospel through miracles also. And Paul, at the end of his ministry, he says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. What Paul is saying is, God has done mighty things through me in word and deed. And what was the purpose of that? To make the Gentiles obedient to the faith. So that the Gentiles, the nations who didn't know God, could see this is truly God. This is the message of God. God has come back and we can follow him. That was the purpose of the gospel. And God gave a command that all the ends of the earth should come to obedience of the faith. So it's to make people again understand the gospel and choose to submit to the Lordship of Jesus. So you and I have authority to do this. Just like Jesus' disciples, we have authority also. Very quickly, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So Jesus has all authority and he told us to go. What he's saying is, you go and be who I am in you. Jesus has given us his authority to carry on the same works. Romans chapter 8 says that you and I are the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. An heir is someone who receives an inheritance when someone passes on. Jesus has passed into the heavens, Paul tells us in Hebrews. We have become the sons of God. A son is an heir. We are joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Christ has received from the Father has been given to us. Everything. In Revelation, Jesus says, to him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. We will sit on the throne with Christ. He's given us all things. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. This is the authority we have. Ephesians 1 and 2 says, Christ has been raised up to heavenly places above all things. And then it goes on to say, we have been raised up with him also. We are seated in the heavenly places in Christ. Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above, because you died, and now your life is hidden with Christ in God. So we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Luke 9 again, Jesus verbalized that authority. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. So again, this is a pattern. Jesus is giving it to those who follow him. You and I follow him also, don't we? So now that same authority and power is given to us. We can't earn it, we don't deserve it. But Jesus wants us to continue his works so that people know the kingdom of God has come. It's all about the kingdom of God. Again, he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. That's talking about Satan. He that's in you is greater than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 5, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's us. We've been born of God. We overcome the world. And again, Jesus said, this world lies in the hands of the evil one. But we overcome the world. Luke 10, Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Again, Jesus said, I give it to you. So it's ours. Matthew chapter 10, he gave you the power of unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. There's nothing too hard for Jesus. And because of that, there's nothing too hard for us also. It's Christ in us. God living in us and letting his kingdom flow through us so people can receive the power of God, to be healed, to be set free from Satan's power. These things, healing and deliverance, are tools. Especially healing, it's a gift of the Spirit. It's a tool to demonstrate, again, the power of God, and it's God showing love to people. But it's a tool that God uses to
bring them into a deeper encounter with God. Many people who are healed, they say, what happened? What happened? And we can share with them the gospel, and slowly God can work in their hearts. So it's a tool that God uses. Healing is not an end in itself. It's part of the kingdom of God, where God is wanting to restore all things, but also it's a tool for people to come to know Him. Again, the name of Jesus. These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So it's the name of Jesus. And again, when we use someone's name, what we're saying is we are using that same person's authority. In New Zealand, if you have a power of attorney, that person is acting on behalf of someone else. They have the power and authority of that person. We use Jesus' name. He has graciously given us His name. We can use it. And by using that name, we have His authority. Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, there are two examples. Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In Acts chapter 4, he says, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man stands here before you whole. So it was in the name of Jesus that healing could take place. So now you and I have the authority and the privilege to use this name also. In this name, evil spirits go. In the name of Jesus, pain leaves people's lives. In the name of Jesus, sickness goes from people's lives. In the name of Jesus, burdens and oppression lifts off people. It's in Jesus' name. So we use that same name before we go. In Jesus' name. So the Holy Spirit also. So we have the name of Jesus. We have the authority as the sons of God. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Luke 24, he says, you'll receive power from on high. Romans chapter 14, again, Paul says, the mighty signs and wonders which were done by the power of the Spirit of God. So we have all been born again into the kingdom of God, and the Spirit of God has been given to us, as Matt was speaking before, and he'll share in the next session. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is specifically to carry on the power of the work of the kingdom. We'll receive power to do the same works that Jesus did. John chapter 14, one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Jesus is saying, I'm going to my Father will send the Holy Spirit to you, and because the Holy Spirit will live in you, you will do even greater works than I do. So whatever we've seen Jesus do, you and I can do greater works. We can believe it. It's real. Jesus has said, he who believes in me. Do you believe in him? If you do, you can do greater works than Jesus. That doesn't mean that we are greater than Jesus, of course not. But Jesus says, you will do greater works than me because the Spirit of God lives within us. This was God's purpose, for us to be the temple of the living God. The temple of God. God lives in us. So is it God's will to heal? Yes, we've seen it. Jesus, he commissioned his disciples to go. And he said, you go and lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So we know it's God's will to heal. Is it God's will for you and I to heal? Yes. Again, Jesus says, I give you authority. I give you power to cast out demons and to cure diseases. So it is God's will to heal the sick. And it's God's will for us to heal the sick. Something else we'll just have a look at before we look at faith is our identity. Because if we don't know who we are, unbelief and doubt will stop us from doing anything. Now, the reason I shared some of those verses before about inheriting in Christ, about being the sons of God, unless we can see that, unless we can see the authority that God has given us, we will just think, well, I can never do that. That's just for a pastor. That's just for evangelists. That's just for being him. So we have to actually understand who we are in Christ. That God has put us in Christ. That all our sin has been taken away. That we're not condemned. That shame has been removed from our lives. We've been brought into the family of God. We are chosen and called of God to be his ambassadors. If we understand that and have that in our hearts, then we won't be afraid to pray and sin and expect it to happen. So we have to know who we are. If we don't, we'll just think, well, can it happen for me? And then it will never happen. So we have to have that in our hearts, who we are. So I encourage you, if you want to get my email address,
You can look through some of those scriptures and others that I'm sure you know of. Also, when I was younger, and Ken, my best friend here, we used to think maybe we have to wait till we are a lot older before we can do these things. But we don't. We don't have to be a Christian for many years before we can heal the sick or cast out demons. The youngest believer in Christ can heal the sick, cast out demons. Because the same authority that Matthew has, great believer in God, great man of God for 25 years, the youngest Christian has. Because Christ lives in Matthew, Christ lives in the youngest believer. The same Spirit of God that's in Matt or David is in the youngest believer. Anyone can do it. And God wants us to do it. So it doesn't matter what spiritual level we think we have attained. It doesn't matter. Jesus has given you authority, and you authority, and you authority to do the same works. So let's have a look at faith. Okay. How are people healed? They're healed by faith. A few scriptures here. These signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So faith. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. Most assuredly, again, we read that in John chapter 14, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Matthew chapter 17, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And again, Acts chapter 3, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man whole. Yes, the faith that comes through him. So people are healed by faith. Now, with faith, many people think, well, is it the faith of the person who prays? Is it the faith of the person who is receiving the prayer? The only thing that matters is that faith is present. Sometimes Jesus would say, your faith has healed you. Other times, Jesus would pray for people who had no faith and they'd be healed. So sometimes it was Jesus' faith. Now, Jesus always had faith. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes, like the lady who was bleeding, Jesus didn't even know that she was coming. But she said, if I can just touch it, I'll be healed. So that woman had faith, and she had enough faith for herself. What is faith in? It's faith in the finished work of Jesus. That Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That he's broken the power of sin. That he's died, that all sin and all sickness was placed upon him. When he died, all sin was buried, the power of sickness and death was broken forever, and now we are redeemed from the old creation. We're redeemed from the curse. We're free from the power of Satan. We're free from all the works of Satan. Because for this purpose, the Son of God was revealed, to destroy the works of the devil. So it's faith in what Jesus has already accomplished. It's faith in what Jesus has already provided. Now, each one of us here, if we're saved, if we're born again, we're saved by faith, through grace. We're saved by faith. What are we believing? That Jesus has died for our sins, that he took the place of judgment that I deserve, that he's reconciled me to God. It's faith in what Jesus has done, right? How are we healed? Faith in exactly the same way, that all sickness was placed upon Jesus. Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes, we are healed. The same way that we come into the kingdom of God through faith is the same way we heal. Believing that Jesus has already paid the price for it. Just believing. So we're not saved, and this is, we're not saved even by praying. Because sometimes we think, well, let's just pray longer or harder. Or if we're doing that, we're trying to get people healed by works. Now, we didn't do that to get saved, did we? We didn't try and earn our salvation by working for it. We just believed. And believing, I like to use a simple illustration of faith. The most simple illustration of faith I know is this. I believe that this chair will hold me. And I just rest in it. I just believe. I didn't test it. I didn't think, is it strong enough? It looks a bit flimsy, it bends. But I'm just going to rest in the chair. I'm just going to trust the chair to hold me. We're saved by resting in Christ, trusting in the saints. In the same way for our healing, we just rest in it. Thank you, Jesus. You've already paid the price for it. I receive it. So simple. We don't have to try and work or pray harder or fast more to be saved, but to be healed. We never did that to be saved.
We don't have to do it to be healed. It's only by faith. And that's why Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, just stretch out your arm. To the man who was blind, Jesus said, just go ahead and see. To the lady who was, well, the little girl who was dead, Jesus said, I say to you, arise, get up. Jesus didn't try to work anything. He didn't try to make something happen. He just said things in faith. And this is the same way you and I can also operate in healing. Again, although healing is one of the gifts of the Spirit, you don't have to have the gift of healing to heal people. I'll illustrate that. Everyone is called to evangelize, right? To be a witness. But not everyone is an evangelist. Paul says everyone can prophesy in Corinthians, but not everyone's a prophet. Everyone can teach, but not everyone's a teacher. Everyone can heal the sick, but not everyone has the gift of healing. So each of us, it doesn't matter. We don't have to think, I haven't got the gift, I can't do it. Jesus has given you authority to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. They will recover. So that's the gift of healing. It's not our prayers, it's not our works, it's faith in the finished work of Christ. Our healing has been totally secured at the cross of Calvary. Jesus has paid it all. We see in this verse our salvation incomplete. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Salvation is not just our souls being taken to heaven. Salvation is our total personality and being restored to the image that was lost in Adam. Everything that was lost in the fall, God is wanting to restore. So salvation includes the healing of our minds, our emotions, our personalities, our bodies, every part of our being. God is wanting to bring us back to the very position that Adam lost so that we can reign in life as Adam used to reign. And Romans chapter 5 says, you've been called to reign in life through Jesus Christ. How can we reign in life if we're sick? A few weeks back came to me and she said, you know, can you pray for me? I have this disease and I can't function as I ought to. I can't look after my children. I can't function in life. And she's had this sickness for many years. And so we had some prayer for her and it's gone. She realized she could not be the person that God's called her to be with this sickness. Now, because the sickness went, it's good evidence that it wasn't God's plan for her to have it. It's a work of saving. So Jesus has paid for it. The word saved in the Bible, many times we read it. That word saved means to rescue, to make well, to restore to health, to preserve, to make whole, to keep safe and sound. It's not just to take our souls to heaven, it's to save us totally. And part of that salvation is healing. Now that word saved is involved in Ephesians 2, and Acts here. By grace you're saved, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And 2 Timothy, who has saved us. Almost every verse in which that word appears, it means salvation complete. Not just our souls being saved. Everything. Again, to rescue, to make well, to restore, to help, to preserve, to make whole, to keep safe and sound. Now, Jesus gave us a really good illustration of how he would use his authority. He had just cursed a fig tree in the Bible, and the tree had died. And so Jesus' disciples said, wow, Jesus, that was amazing. Look what you did. But Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. The next slide is the exactly same verse, but different emphasis. Again, for assuredly I say to you, whoever, that means anyone, says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. What did Jesus say to the fig tree? He says, be cursed and let no one ever eat fruit of you again. What happened? It was cursed and died. There's power of life and death in our tongues. How did Jesus heal the sick? Well, firstly, he said, lay hands on the sick and then you will recover. We do that. But also, look at Jesus' pattern. Again, to the man who had the withered arm, Jesus said, stretch out your hand. To the man who was blind, Jesus said, receive your sight. Receive your sight. To the man who was deaf, he said, be opened. To Lazarus, He didn't lay hands on Lazarus, did he? He said, Lazarus, come forth. To the little girl who was dying, little girl, I say to you, arise. So the authority that Jesus has, we have the same authority to speak. And it happens. That's why, you know, we say, evil spirits, in the name of Jesus, we command you, leave. We can say, sickness, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. So, again, Jesus took the curse upon himself that we might be delivered from the curse. The curse that came on the human race because of Adam's sin. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So on the cross, Jesus became the curse of God in our place. Why? That we might be free from the curse, and instead of being cursed, we can be blessed. Part of that blessing is freedom from the effects of the curse, sickness and death and pain in our bodies. Pain is not from God. Sickness is not from God. So how do we do it in a practical way? We don't ask God to heal me. Jesus has said, you say it. Jesus said, you go heal the sick. Jesus never said, Father, can you please heal this person? Jesus said, blind eyes, be open. Be open. He said, receive your sight. Jesus didn't say, Father, can you please heal it? Jesus was God's representative through the Father's works. You and I are the representatives of God in the same way. We don't have to ask God to do it. God's told us to do it through Jesus. Jesus says, you go, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. It's something that we can do. Now, there's times where we agree in prayer for certain things. I'm not discounting that. Jesus said, if two or three of you agree on earth concerning anything you ask, it shall be done. But Jesus has given us the authority to do it. And I'll show you why. We are called in the scriptures the body of Christ. Who's the head of the body? It's Christ. It's Jesus, isn't it? Ephesians 2 says it's Jesus. Jesus is the head of the body. The body is his church, right? Ephesians chapter 1 says that Christ has been raised up far above all things, above all principalities and powers, above every name that is named, both in this age and that which is to come. And then it says in Ephesians chapter 1, God has put all things under Jesus' feet. God has put all things, that means subjection. God has put all things under Jesus' feet. But who's Jesus' body? It's us. So everything that has been put under Jesus' feet is under our feet because we are the body of Christ. Christ is the head, we're the body. Everything put under Jesus' feet is under our feet also, because you and I are the body of Christ. We are Christ to the world. This world can never know who Jesus is apart from you. Apart from you. Apart from you. We are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. They can never know what God is like. They can never know the love of God. They can never see the power of God except through you. So you and I, as we say, are the hands and feet of Christ. All authority has been given to us. Every principality, every evil spirit is under our feet. Its power is broken. Jesus has been raised from the dead. In Colossians it says that he triumphed over all principalities and disarmed them with power. So you and I step out, pray for people. And again, it's just in practical ways. Someone we know, our neighbor who's sick. Maybe someone at work. Wherever we go, just pray. Can I pray for you? No. It looks like you're in pain. Can I just give my hand a quick prayer for you? In the name of Jesus, I command this pain to leave. I command healing from the city. I command every bone and muscle to be made correct. All pain in the name of Jesus. Personally, just speak. All pain go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. That's your authority. The name of Jesus. And speak it. It will happen. What else we finish up with? Again, sometimes, and when I was in the past, I've had this as well. I've gone to pray for someone, and maybe it hasn't happened because people are not healed all the time, immediately. Okay? It'll happen. You pray for someone, they might not be healed. So normally I'll pray again, and I'll just pray for maybe 10 second prayer. I'll get them to move their part of the body. I'll say, move your leg. This is the
move her neck. I said, are you feeling pain? She said, no, all the pain is gone. I said, are you sure? She said, yes, all the pain is gone. So I encourage you, when you pray for someone, just have a short prayer and then say, okay, move that part of the body, see if you feel any pain. And might say, oh, it's a bit better. Then just pray again. Thank you, Lord, for what you've started. Command the rest of this pain to go. Check it again. Sometimes we might pray 3 or 4 or 5 times to people, and then all the pain's gone. The important thing to remember is that that healing has been paid for. So believe it will happen. If it doesn't happen then, it might happen tomorrow. When I came back from Fiji last year, someone sent me a message and they said, this certain person that we know, they have to go into the specialist and have an injection in the neck because they're getting terrible pain down their neck and shoulder. They need an operation. So I said, I'd like to come and pray for them. So I went to pray for this person, and I prayed about 5 times in a matter of about 10 minutes, or not 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. I just prayed 5 times, and there was no change in the person's pain. And so I had faith that this is the will of God. It's God's will to heal people, because Jesus has paid for that healing already, just like he's paid for our sin. It's God's will. So I know he's going to be healed. And I just heard God's word to my heart tomorrow morning. So again, God will give each of us the words of knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit. So I just, tomorrow morning. So I said to this person, wake up tomorrow morning. And they were still in long pain. So they woke up in the morning, they told me. And they said, they woke up, and you're still in a lot of pain. And they were a bit disappointed. And they said, God, why? Why has nothing happened? And so they sort of went back to sleep. Half an hour later, they woke up again. All gone, totally removed. So it's faith in what Jesus has already done. But when I pray for people, if people are not healed, I don't say, well, sorry, tough luck. It's God's will for them to be healed. Everyone. I expect everyone to be healed. If it's not now, it'll be tomorrow or the next week. But Jesus said, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So that's the faith we can have in Jesus' own words. Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. They will. Jesus didn't lie. He says they will recover. So when you pray, if there's no sign of anything, just believe. No, God's going to heal you. You just wait. God will heal you. Jesus said they will recover. That's an absolute statement. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So I like to hear more. I have that faith for people. If I don't see it, we're not supposed to live by how we feel and what we see, right? We walk by faith. We live by faith. I don't see any evidence. That's all right. Jesus said that we should pray for you, and I'll pray for you, and he's going to do it. And just go away with peace. So each of us can do this. Okay, so we don't have to go into Christian performance. We don't have to try and work healing. We just believe. It happens because Jesus has already given it to us. It's already there. Okay, so again, Jesus' healing is to demonstrate the power of God to renew and restore a cursed creation. And his miracles and healing are windows through which the world sees a glimpse of the cosmos as it's renewed in the new kingdom. So Jesus said in Hebrews, I saw there will be a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. There's a new age coming where Jesus will reign on this earth. Satan's kingdom will be broken forever. And Jesus' wonders and miracles that he does through you and me, just little tiny weak people, they are glimpses into the great thing that God is going through in the future. They are something we can see now of a totally restored creation. And Isaiah says this also, new heavens and a new earth. That's the hope that we have. So they're glimpses of the greater things. So as Jesus sent out his disciples, those disciples also sent out other disciples to do the same thing, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And if people are not listening to your message, if they say, well, we don't believe in Jesus, or in Fiji again, we visited one house, they were a Muslim family, and they don't like us telling them about Jesus. But this boy, who was about 30, he had a sprained ankle. I said, can I pray for your ankle? He wasn't very happy about it. So I prayed for his ankle, and I said, how do you feel? He said, not much. And then he said, can I get you a drink? And I said, yes, please. So he walked into the kitchen to get a drink, and he came back, and his eyes were like saucers. And he said,
All the pain's gone. All the pain's gone. I said, yeah, this is Jesus.
And then he was a Muslim, so he doesn't normally accept the Christian message. But he was so amazed. He said, please come and pray for my father. His father was in the next room. He had a stroke when he was dying. So this Muslim man who doesn't even believe Jesus is the Messiah, he wanted to be able to pray for his father. So if they don't listen to our words, they see the power of God and they believe. And that's why Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And Jesus said, the works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. The works that you and I can do, just in simple opportunities to pray for people.
Another illustration, I was at Queen Street about 3 weeks ago, and that day I was specifically praying, Lord, I really want someone to pray for. I just want to pray for someone. And so I was outside McDonald's, just leaning against the wall with some friends, and I saw a man on crutches walk down the street. I thought, yeah, Lord, I want to pray for him. So I was just waiting. He was walking down. I was just sort of watching him out of the corner of my eye. And then when he got to me, he looked at me. I said, g'day, mate. How's it going? I've got it. And I said, what happened? He said, oh, this morning I got out of bed and my ankle collapsed on me. And I've just come from the hospital and he had these crutches. And I said, are you in much pain? He said, yeah, it's pretty bad. It's about 8 out of 10. I said, oh, hey, do you mind if I pray for you? Oh, yeah, sure, sure. So I just got down the street. Just command all this pain to go in the name of Jesus. I command this ankle to be healed. I command every muscle to be healed. Every bone, every ligament, be healed and be made whole in Jesus' name. Can you check your ankle? Oh, yeah, it's a bit better. Okay, can I pray again? Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Lord, for the start. I command all of this pain. Leave in the name of Jesus.
And I said, give me your crutches. So he gave me his crutches. I said, walk. And so he started walking. I said, Jesus has come to bring God's kingdom, to restore us back to God. Jesus is God revealed. Jesus has brought the power of God to change our hearts, to change our lives. And this person said, oh, I believed in God, but I didn't believe he could do this. So wherever we are, you know, have the faith in your hearts. God wants his kingdom to flow through you. God wants his kingdom to come through you. We don't have to be pastors. We don't have to be teachers. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. Quickly. Faith is the denying of our own wisdom and human understanding. It's trusting the wisdom of God. Faith is the position of your heart to believe what he has already accomplished. It's the position of our hearts. Christ has provided full salvation, full redemption, full restoration from the curse. He's accomplished it. Faith is saying yes. I believe that and I'm going to live in it. It's the position of our heart. Quickly, the results of healings in the Bible. Peter said to this man, and yes, Jesus the Christ healed you. What happened? He was healed. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon turned to the Lord. All. Everyone in those two cities turned to the Lord because one man was healed. The next verse, the disciples said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes because she was dead. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Another example. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. This became known to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. So all the Jews and Greeks in Ephesus heard of the power of God through one person being healed. Or two people being healed. And then again, Paul. Paul went into this man and prayed. He laid his hands on him and healed him. Paul healed him through the power of Jesus. Paul didn't say, Jesus, please come down and touch this person. Paul would have said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Just like Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's our pattern. So Paul healed him, and it said, when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. So when people are healed, it's a testimony that God is here. God is working. God's kingdom is prevalent. It's evident. It's a practical, tangible way in which we know not only does God love us, but God's interested in people's lives. He's wanting to bring them back to himself in a real way. Okay. So we'll just leave it there. But you and I can do this. You and I can do this. We don't have to be Christians for decades. We can do it today. Wherever we are, you and I can do this. It's about letting Jesus flow through our lives and letting the kingdom of God come wherever we are. Walking down the street, wherever we are, someone, something's wrong, can I pray? And let Jesus reveal himself. Okay. So I'll just have a short word of prayer, then we have a quick break. You can just stay seated as we pray. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty power. Father, we thank you. You've given us authority and power to heal the sick. And we thank you, Lord, that this power is a demonstration of your love and kingdom. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the authority to use your name. We pray that faith will rise in our hearts, that we won't be afraid to step out, trust you, believe that your power will work as we use your name, and believe that miracles will happen. We ask you, Lord, to not be afraid of what other people think, but to believe and expect that what you said will happen will happen. So let faith arise in our hearts, Lord. Let your faith grow in our hearts to see the greater works that you've called us to do. Let your kingdom come through our lives. Let your name be honored in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.